Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Right Here in Mass. Today's guest is Albert Moy, an Edward Jones financial advisor and the president of the Middleborough Rotary Club. Albert, I'm so excited to have you here with us. Please share more about you and what you do.
Sure. Thank you for having me here. So, what I do, I'm a financial advisor with Edward Jones. My office is here in Bridgewater, Mass. So I've been in the financial industry for over 30 years. What got me started is, in the financial industry was, when I was young, I started with many other jobs. I was a mechanic at one point. I was also into construction. My family was always in the food business. So I was in the food industry, restaurant, per se, since I was 12 years old. So, so right now food is still one of my passions. I love cooking. I love, to eat as well. These are just some of the things that I do. With Edward Jones, I help people prepare for retirement, not to outlive their retirement, but also a lot of other financial planning as well, besides investment. So that's what I do. So
amazing. And that's really interesting that you first started out as a mechanic and in the construction industry. So what made you want to make that change and pursue a career in financial planning?
Okay. And I think this is probably, even at that age, I think one of the reasons was I hurt my back, working on cars. And I think it was after then I started looking into your future, saying, mm-hmm. How long is this job going to last? So for my thinking was, I can't be doing this until, I'll probably have another 20 years to 30 years and that's it. So I want to look at, the longevity of my career to see, make sure that it's going to last rather than, probably in 10 years, my back's going to go and I can't do this anymore. It'll be too late to start something new. So that's where I focus. And a friend of mine told me that, hey, this transfer agent over in Quincy is hiring. Would you like to join this group and start from there? So pretty much, that's how I got started in the financial industry.
That's amazing. And have you always been with Edward Jones or were you with other companies prior?
I've been with two other companies prior to this. My first company was at BFDS or Boston Financial Data Services. That was in Quincy, Mass. So they were a transfer agent where they took on a lot of management companies, which my second company I worked for was MFS Investment Management. They're like one of the oldest mutual fund companies. They invented the mutual funds. They've been around for more than 130 years. So, I've learned a lot from MFS. It's because, I always set a goal for myself when I started working there, which I like to share with people is, whatever I do, it's always, I look at a 5-year goal, So I had multiple, positions or jobs over at MFS. I started in the operations group. From operations group, then I got tired of that or looking to move up. So I went to more client service dealing with, how client service is making phone calls and all that. So it's tough at first, but then you get used to it. Then I went into trading accounts, learning some more about, institutional accounts like with big banks and so forth. So retirement was always my key thing over at MFS. So.
And is that what you say you would specialize in, is helping your clients work towards retirement and have a retirement that suits their goals?
Right. Yes. Because I love the word goals, but I tend to like when we talk about retirement, instead of goals, because everyone has multiple goals. It doesn't have to be just one goal. But when it comes to retirement, I always ask them, instead of a goal, because somebody would ask, a financial advisor would ask their client to say, you know, do you have enough money to retire? I mean, that's not what I asked them. It's like, do you have enough money to retire? I asked them, say, what is your lifestyle that you want when you retire? Because that's a totally different situation. Like for some, it could be, you know, you could say you have all this money. Either you could say, I'll retire poor or not enough money, or I'll die with too much money. So depending on what your lifestyle is. So.
Yeah. And I imagine if people, once they retire, want to use their money to travel more or maybe buy another house or anything like that. So I love that you use the word lifestyle.
Right. Because everyone's different. You know, some say, well, you know, they may have a legacy plan where they say, I don't want to spend any of my investments, my assets, but I just want to leave it for my family. I want to leave it for a charity of mine that I want to do. So it really depends. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it sounds like you work with all different types of clients and who are in all different types of situations. So I imagine that's probably really interesting for you, is just being able to go from one scenario to another and work with totally different types of people.
Right. And that's what I love doing what I do, is because every day is different. And you know, of course you have different challenges, but then there's also, you know, I get to meet different types of people, whether they're people who have their own business, or whether somebody who's working for a company, you know, somebody who is retired and say, I don't know what to do. And I'm here to guide them, you know, or to help them to make their life much easier, you know.
Absolutely. And with working with Edward Jones, was there something about Edward Jones that attracted you to go with the company, or something that might have inspired you or kind of pushed you to take that leap?
Yes, great question. One of the things is, while working at MFS, I was also in compliance, which I oversaw all of our wholesalers with the activities, because, you know, very compliant, make sure that they're not doing anything, you know, not being compliant. So I was inspired by these wholesalers, looking at what they do every day, where they go out and talk to advisors and set up meetings and just meeting people. And like I said, I'm a social butterfly. I love to talk to people, meet people. And that's what inspired me in saying, you know, instead of working in the back office day in, day out, just sitting behind a computer, just looking at data. And so I got tired of that. I said, you know, maybe I need to, you know, venture out and work for Edward Jones. The reason why I chose Edward Jones is because they have the same culture as MFS Investments, you know, where they treat all their employees almost like we're family. You know, we're not treated just like you're an employee, you're a number, and so forth. It's the culture that's there, where they're here to say, we're here for you, we're here to help you grow, we're here to support you in any way. So, and that's why I chose Edward Jones. Yeah.
I love that. And for anyone who might be listening to this episode, who might be considering pursuing a career as a financial advisor, would you have any tips or recommendations for them with getting started?
Yes. With Edward Jones, I said, Edward Jones is a great company to work for. We're one of the top Fortune 100 companies to work for. And, you know, I mean, being financial advisor, I have to, you know, truthfully say, it's not easy. But once, like I said, if you like to dealing with people, you like helping people, and then I tell you, this is for you, because it's more than just opening up an account for the client with what their investments are. And you always talk about investments. Is I pretty much have, like, you know, on one family, I have three different generations that I'm managing their money. Is from, you know, the grandfather's here, the father's here, now the son's here, and they're all in the same field industry. So. I don't know. I may be getting the fourth generation soon. So, So it, that's how it is with Edward Jones, is because when I say, you might have heard me in some of the networking, I say, I'll partner with you for life, means, you know, well, I'm here for you. Whatever you need, and even if I'm not here, Edward Jones is always here.
Yeah. I love that. And I love that you mentioned too, that you work with multiple generations of a family. I imagine that's really interesting, is just moving from, like you said, the grandparents to the parents to the children, and being able to support them in their different ways.
Right. Yeah, it is. It's totally different, where now you're talking someone who's in retirement, someone who's about to retire, and then you have someone who, you know, just working, you know, preparing for retirement. And now you have the next generation say, well, we're looking at education and how I can get my children to go to college and have funds for that. So it's a nonstop, you could say, the type of planning. So,
yeah, absolutely. And you've hinted at this a little bit with some of the answers that you shared in terms of helping people prepare for retirement and even help to save money for when their kids go off to college. But why would you say it's important for everyone to work with a financial advisor?
Why would I say that? Okay. Well, you know, one of the things is everyone's busy. Okay. You know, whether it's with their business, with their jobs, with their family, you know, a lot of times I look at it as you always look for someone who, unless you can do it all yourself, which I know people have tried. And then they eventually they hired me to work with them is it's almost like, you know, when you get someone, for example, if you get sick, you're not just going to do it to help cure yourself. I mean, you're going to try as much. But then once you can't do it, you go and find a doctor or you find a dentist. With myself is because I have a lot of support from my back office that can help me, that I have all these tools here. And, you know, it's part of my job is to learn about, you know, what's going on in the economy and then be able to help you in terms of, you know, what plans do you have? And if you don't have any, let's come up with a plan. And if the plans that you have, maybe it's not really working, maybe we can change something to make it work better for you.
Yeah. And I love that you mentioned the part about having plans and helping your clients think about what those plans should be. Because I know myself personally, a few years ago, I was like, I don't know what I want my life to be like. And I think sometimes thinking about that can be a little bit difficult. So do you have like a certain process or strategy that you use to help individuals and help your clients think through what they want to achieve in their life or what they want their lifestyle to be like?
Right. Yes, I do. So I have a very holistic approach. So I'm not here to say, you know, I have this product or I have this model, which, you know, there's no cookie cutter. So I work with every individual, you can say individually, personalized. So, you know, I need to understand what's important to you, you know, and then I look at everyone has different goals. You know, and I look at, I find out, say, you know, how did you get here? So I understand, you know, where did you come from when you grow up? Did you grow up with money? Was money something that you care about a lot, or if it wasn't, or, you know, and things like that. So just to understand how your lifestyle was and how you got to where you are today and where you want to go tomorrow, you know. So that way it's just understanding what you want. It's not what I want, you know, to say, here, I'm going to have you open an account with me. And this is your goal. Your goal is to have this, but I say that's not what I want.
Yeah.
And then say, you know, for some people, you know, that and that's why it's, you know, that's how I do the planning. So.
And you use the word holistic, which I think is a really interesting approach to take. And so with that, with your clients, do you find yourself collaborating and speaking with other professionals they might be working with, such as an accountant or estate planning attorney?
I do. Yeah. Good question. Yes. I do work with, if they have a CPA in terms of every year before year end, I will sit down with the CPA and we'll see, look at, you know, accounts that have accrued capital gains or anything. We'll see what we can do to trim, to help them, you know, harvest some of the taxes so that they don't have to pay as much taxes. We're working with an estate planning attorney that we can sit down and say, you know, here are all your assets. What's better for you? Is it a will or is it a trust? And then after, once that plan is set up, we will make a meeting at the client's house, sit down with the attorney as well as myself and the family, with all the family beneficiaries. And then we sit down and say, this is what you guys are getting. This is what's, you know, if mom and dad pass away, here's what you're getting. So nobody's going to fight at the end. You know, they love me better. Why am I getting less and so forth? But that way it makes a sense of relief where, you know, the person's still living. They said, you know, I'm all set. If anything happens to me, my wife's all set. My kids are all set. So I don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah. And I think it's great that you will collaborate with those different professionals that they work with to ensure that you're doing the best possible plan and strategy for your clients. And with the economy potentially heading towards a recession, there's been a lot of talk about that. I'm sure your clients are always chatting with you about it. Right. What advice would you give to working professionals and business owners?
Sure. Yeah, that one is a great one because I always look at, you know, when you're a business person, you would go and take a look at what I call, look at your business plan, review your business plan, see what you have in terms of, you know, your websites, your advertising, what are you spending on different things? What's your approach? Maybe during a recession, maybe you have to say, I need to cut back on some of these things, some of the things that aren't working. Maybe you need to say, okay, I need to focus on something else. And that's where, when the recession, where you have to look at now, your budget's going to be even smaller. So, and then you want to also how to say, look at different ways to optimize your cash flow, you know, in your business. So you really have to take a look, say, but maybe the website that you've created yourself, maybe you need someone like, you know, Ashley here to help you out to build a website that's going to work. So these are different things like, you know, what's working, but maybe I tried it on my own. It didn't work. Maybe I should need to change up my business plan.
Yeah. And I can imagine that with the talks of a recession, people or your clients specifically might have a lot of anxiety or a lot of stress about what's to come because it's the unknown, quote unquote. And right. So do you have advice that you typically share with them about how to navigate that and kind of keep moving forward without letting all the what if scenarios bog them down?
Right. Well, for a lot of working professionals, you know, like you said, the recession and then you have inflation and you say everything's costing so much. So now it's the best time to take a look at, you know, your budget. What are you spending? You know, yeah, before the inflation, before all of this coming to a recession, we were spending money that, you know, that we didn't care about. Or you say, yeah, I can have that cup of coffee at a Starbucks every day. But now look, think about, you know, well, things are costing so much more. And think of ways that you can actually buy a bag of Starbucks coffee, you know, and make it at home. And it's much cheaper that way, right? You know, you get a bigger cup. Yeah. So, I mean, these are some of the ways, just look at your spending. But then always, whatever you're investing in terms of retirement accounts and so forth, I mean, stay with your investment goals. Stay with what you're doing. Don't say, oh, I got to cut back. I got to trim that because I'm, you know, now I'm spending more. I think I should cut back on my investments. No, because now is the best time to invest when the economy's down. You know, when you have the stock market, whatever you invest in, it's at a lower price. And when the market rebounds, guess what? What you've invested today, it's going to either compound and double or even triple. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And I can imagine that it might be tempting for people to just pull the trigger and pull out of whatever investments they have, but just kind of reminding them that it's a long-term game and that things will end up, like you said, growing and improving over time.
Right. Yeah. I always look at, you know, this three thing is to have diversification in all your investing. You know, it doesn't have, don't put all your eggs in one basket and say, hey, I'm going to invest in all real estate. Okay, great. You can invest in some real estate, invest in some, stocks and then bonds and whatever you want to invest. You want to be a partner in a restaurant, be a partner in other industries. I mean, those are all investments. So, but never put everything all in one basket. It's fine.
I think that's a great approach to diversify and also remembering that what works for someone else might not necessarily work for you and vice versa. And that's okay. Being able to have a customized approach of doing what's right for your situation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so another thing that you do within the community is that you're the president of the Middleborough Rotary Club. And so I'd love to hear for listeners who might not know what a Rotary is to talk about what it is and what you do within your role for the Middleborough chapter.
Sure. Yes. The Middleborough Rotary Club, we're a chapter that's part of a bigger, you could say, entity called the Rotary International. So the Rotary International is worldwide. So they started out with, you could say, helping to cure polio, which is right now you don't even hear about polio anymore. So that, I mean, right now you may have one or two cases, but they helped a lot with that was their one big thing. But not just that, the Rotary Club is to help focus on community as well as world, any type of world tragedy, just like when recently with the Ukraine and Russian war, our club alone, we've donated over $14,000 to Ukraine to help the families over there, whatever they need. So, you know.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. But what I do is, as president, is I love being the president, but it's almost like a second job, because you get to do a lot of planning as your president, and we meet weekly. So I try to do some fundraisers, you know, that can help with the club. But one of our main focus is every year we do most of the fundraising for our scholarship program that we give out. Every year we give out 4 scholarships, like $4,000 to 4 individuals from all the local schools in Middleborough, Lakeville, BP, and so forth. So, and whenever there's community help that's required, that's when we give them a hand. For example, we had a couple that said, you know, we can't pay for our oil bill this winter. Can you help us out? So the Rotary Club, you know, said, all right, we'll help you out. And we pay for the bill. So
that's amazing. So it sounds like you do work with individuals like that, but also focus on larger scale projects too, in terms of the Ukraine example you gave. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And as of the time of this recording, it's February for our listeners. Are there any projects that you're currently working on with the Rotary that you could share or feel excited about besides the scholarships?
Yes. So right now we're going to be sponsoring what they call a candidates night. It's for the local election of councilmen and so selectmen and all that. So we're looking at probably, don't mark my words, but holding it at probably at the high school. So we're going to do a lot where we're going to be help sponsoring this to just let the community know, to watch, be able to see who are these people we are electing and into office and hear more about them. So, so it's a great opportunity for us to not just help support this, but also to, you could say, to share what Middleborough Rotary Club is. You know, because a lot of people, like you said, they don't know a lot about the Rotary. So that's one of the things, just to get more exposure about the Middleborough Rotary Club.
Absolutely. And for anyone who's local and interested in volunteering or joining the Rotary Club, are there different options or like opportunities that they can pursue as a volunteer, or how they can get involved with the chapter specifically?
Right. Yeah. So a lot of times they can, find someone who belongs to a club, and then what they do is they can get invited or say, I'd like to see what the Rotary is all about, and join their meeting anytime. Yeah, they can just sit in there, whether it's going to be a lunch meeting, a breakfast meeting, or a dinner meeting. They can just sit in. They don't have to eat if they don't want. They should hear about what the Rotary is all about, you know, what their agenda is every day, and so forth. And you're going to see it's there's a lot of different things about people have beliefs about the Rotary Club. To think before, you should think it's an all men's club, and now it's very. Our club has the most women members as opposed to other groups, clubs. So we're very proud of that. So
yeah, that's amazing. And another organization that you're heavily involved in the community is the Cranberry Country Chamber of Commerce, which is how we met. Right. And as a chamber member, I'd love if you could talk about what you found to be beneficial about being a part of a chamber and why you think it's important for members of the community to join one.
Right. Yes, I'm also the ambassador at the Cranberry Chamber of Commerce. One thing I think is important is if you own a business, it's very important to at least join a chamber that you're focused on in the area that you work. One of the things I love about the Cranberry Chamber of Commerce is, it's not a huge chamber compared to others, where now it's more, you could say, you are able to meet members that you can see, and pretty much it's a more, you have more closeness to some of these members, that you get to understand almost every one of these members. And everyone feels like, you know, we're this group, we're different than other chambers, and there's always support and always help. Like anyone can call me and say, hey, you know, I'm not looking for a financial advisor, but I'm looking for someone in this industry. Would you know of that person? And I'll say, of course.
Yeah. You
know, and that's where it, as a business person, is you get to know all these people, where that's when you build a relationship. Relationship is the key when it comes to a business, because once you build that relationship, it's always the referrals will keep coming.
Absolutely. And I can imagine that being so involved in the community that you have a lot of contacts and a lot of people that you know. So how do you keep track of it all? That's one thing that I always think of, is how do I keep tabs on everyone that I have in my network and be able to send referrals their way when I can and ask them for favors if the opportunity ever comes up?
Right. Yeah. So every time I receive a new contact, I enter them into my system. The next day I come into the office. And then I categorize them as to, you know, what industry they're in. When I put notes in to say this is what they do, and, you know, pretty much get a general idea about if I talk to them about their family and so forth, what they do, what they do for fun. So, mm-hmm. And that's the other thing that I help a lot of new networkers when I meet them at the chamber or any networking event, is if they want to learn how to network, I can show them how to network. So that's one of the things is some people, well, how do you network? How do you get, you know, in touch with someone? Because it gets scary in the beginning if you haven't done it for a while. So I have quite a following right now that people are saying, hey, where are you going to network? And can you show me how to do this? You know?
So. Yeah. And do you have any tips that you could share? Because that's something that, like exactly like you said, I had to get a lot more comfortable with that, being an introvert. And for anyone who might not know anyone at the event that they're attending, it can be a little bit nerve-wracking and intimidating to go to an event like that.
Right. Well, the first thing I always tell someone is, when you go to networking, just think about this, is you're going to a networking event. Everyone here's to network. All you need to do is just put your hand out and say hello and introduce yourself.
Yeah.
And everyone would be accepted of you. And I say, don't be afraid, because everyone here's to network. You're not walking to a restaurant and trying to introduce yourself to a new business. Everyone here should network. And one of the things I tell people in networking is, you know, is just be confident, be yourself. Don't try to be someone else, because then people can see right through you. But as long as you be yourself, and that's who they want to meet. They want to meet that genuine person. You know, tell them about your family. Tell them about, you know, what you do for fun. I mean, people get that. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think one thing that can also, with networking, make people a little bit more on the shy side is that if they walk in and they see people already talking to someone and they're the only one not yet talking to someone, do you have any tips on how people can approach a group or kind of segue themselves into a conversation without feeling like they're interrupting or disrupting the conversation that's happening?
Well, I don't think, well, that's the thing. You know, I felt that in the beginning as well. You want to wait till that person stops talking and then you approach them. But a lot of times, just walk in there and just say, sorry to interrupt you. I just want to introduce myself. And then, you know, and people are more accepted about that. You know, just say, sorry to interrupt. I just want to introduce, I'm new here. So I would like to get to know more about you. And believe me, people aren't offended by that.
Great advice. Mm-hmm. And with having so many involvements in the community, I imagine that your schedule is very busy. So how do you balance it all in terms of being able to work and support your clients and attend all of these events and be involved in all these projects while also still having time for yourself and your family?
Right. It's having a great assistant, you know, in my office. My office manager, I call her office manager because she manages everything in my office. So she looks at my schedule, whether it's if I have networking or client meetings and so forth. So she sets everything up for me, you know, and whenever I have all these network events, I put them on the calendar. She knows to set appointments that are not interfering with, any of these events. So that it makes it work. So.
Oh, awesome. Mm-hmm. And being in the community, do you have any local businesses that you like to support?
Being a foodie, of course, all the restaurants, I love eating different types of food. But any place that I would say that I've met from the chamber, I consider those as local businesses. And I tend to refer business to those businesses rather than big conglomerate, corporations. So whatever I can do, I always refer business to them, or even take clients out to have lunch at these different places. So, yeah.
Love that. Mm-hmm. Albert, this has been such a great episode, and I really enjoyed chatting with you about your career and all that you've done at Edward Jones and in the community. And now I'd love if you could share with our listeners where they can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
Sure. Yeah. I'll give you my website page is www.edwardjones.com/Albert-Mui. That's MUI. And that's it.
Perfect. And I will link to that in the show notes. That way our listeners can click through from there. But thank you so much again for coming on the show.
No, thank you for inviting me. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.